just like that, we're into the show, the world-famous Phil Hendry show here from the El Pacifico in Southern California. And today is a Tuesday. It's the 27th of September. The year is 2022. And we're going to do on the show today what we used to call, I guess we still call them Phil-onlys, but I'm not going to be talking about anything beyond, you know, the scope of the show. I'm not going to talk about politics. I'm not going to talk about nothing like that. Because, frankly, I'm all really off of talking about politics, to be honest with you. I think there's other people to do it better. But what I wanted to talk about today was something that I actually was thinking about for a few weeks. And it starts with this. It starts with the fact that I do this show. To the extent that people know about the Phil Hendry show, I think most people know that, yeah, I play all these characters. But I don't know that it is understood. When I was a kid, I knew two things about myself. I was a pretty weird kid. I had a lot of weird ideas, and I was, at a very young age, I was working those weird ideas out as a mimic, a voice guy, you know, a voice kid. I mean, there's voice guys, there's voice talent. I guess I was a voice kid. And my observations about life and all of that went into the sense of humor that I had. And as I grew up, people began to appreciate my sense of humor. My friends did. A lot of the girls that you thought were really, you know, cute, that maybe you wanted to get to know, a lot of them thought I was weird. You know, that was probably the worst thing you could hear from a girl. You're weird, you know. And that was probably the first time I said to myself, which is, you know, I wasn't going to say it to anybody else. The first time I said to myself, I think being weird is not a good thing, because being weird obviously puts off the really cute girls and the cool guys, or the people I thought were cool, you know, the people that I thought were the cool guys. As it came about, I developed a lot of friends, good friends, who liked my sense of humor. And even though they thought I was weird, they thought I was a good weird, not a bad weird. But through a lot of my life, on into my adult years, I tried to hide the weirdest parts of me because I didn't think they would do me any good, even professionally. Even though I was at that point in radio and I was a quote-unquote radio personality, there were two things that were happening when I came up in radio in the 1970s. One of them was the fact that I didn't want to exhibit any of these weird tendencies as a performer because I thought that they were off-putting, you know. I wanted to be a normal guy. I wanted to be you know, a guy that didn't attract a lot of attention, because I came, a lot of this comes from, you know, the type of family that I came from, and I don't want to get into that, but, you know, I grew up in strange circumstances. So one thing I didn't want to be is weird. And the second thing that was happening in the 70s was personality radio was sort of on the way out the door. Now, there was a lot of it in the 60s and 50s, I take it. I don't remember listening to the radio that early, but in the 70s, it was all about the music. And I came up at a time when everybody's talking like this. And coming up will be the Grateful Dead. And next up is this kind of approach on the air. And if there was any kind of personality radio, it was usually morning drive. And it wasn't all that great. It was, I don't know, maybe the disc jockey talked to the news guy and like that. So personality radio was not happening, and you were discouraged from drawing attention to yourself that way. And so I was a pretty much a cookie cutter disc jockey for all of those years, not wanting to attract attention, you know. And this is a battle that I was sort of having with myself and my life and my, and what do you want to do with your life, Phil? What is this really it? Do you just want to be spinning records? What do you want to do? Until finally, sometime in the late 80s, around my late 30s, when I got fired from another job, I told myself, well, you know you have talent for this. You're just holding back. And you might as well just let it all hang out now, man, because you're going to be 40 in a couple of years, and you're going to be, you know, it ain't going to be funny anymore. And you ain't going to be funny anymore. So that was when I launched into full bore my instincts as a radio talent, as an actor, as a voice artist, and I began to evolved the show that we came to know. On radio, I was a character as well as the host, and I was baiting callers. And as we got into the podcast, it became more or less a satire of your average radio show with me playing the parts of a lot of different characters. Now, I can tell you that. When you listen to my show, even if you know it really well, and I'm not trying to claim any great art here, but I just know for a fact, even if you know my show really well, when you listen to what I'm doing, you'd swear to God there's three or four people there talking. Even if you know it's Phil Henry, that he's doing all the, and I've had people say, I try to tell my girlfriend that's, and she doesn't want to know. And here's where we get back into that weird thing. You know, I've had people sit in my studio who are producers of comedy shows, television shows. I've had people sit in my studio and look at me and say, boy, you are weird. And I'm thinking, what do you do for a living, man? You know? Yeah. It is weird. It came about like this. When I realized that I wanted to turn all the jets on full blast as an artist, I realized that I found humor in the way people interchanged normally. I wasn't really all that big of a fan of really broad, sketchy humor where here comes the punchline and the obvious character voice and the obvious character names like Joe Schnertzel. That kind of stuff I didn't find funny. What I found funny was that the humor that we find in normal conversation, and I would listen carefully to people talking as a kid, as a young man, as an adult. I listened to how people take breaths. I listened to how people, how the interchanges take place, how their exchanges take place, where we interrupt each other. We don't ever all complete a full sentence. We're being interrupted or we're that kind of thing. I listened to all that stuff. And I began to, in tandem with the character voices that I knew and listening to people and coming up with different characters, coming up with, what does it mean when you say you come up with a character? I've come up with a persona, not mine, but one that I've learned by observing people. I've thrown in a sense of humor, or I've thrown in some humor that's reflective of my own to kind of further along that character. Like the other day, yesterday's show, I was listening to a character named Tad Tadlin. I don't even remember doing this character, but this very tired voice. And the humor came in the fact that this dude was tired and wasn't even sure where he was. So, you know, you couldn't say, oh, that's not something you'd write out on a piece of paper. You have to kind of perform it and find it. So I got these characters. I got this way of listening to how people spoke. And then I decided to perform it. Now, you can do the obvious thing, which is what most guys do, most people, hire actors to play those characters. You play one part, and the other actors, they play all these characters that you wrote. Okay? And I even wrote some TV pilots like that, where I had these characters that I'd created on this show, and we had other actors performing them. But for the purpose of the audio medium of radio, podcasting, whatever you want to call it, or whatever it is today, you don't need to hire a lot of actors. And I found it to be, first of all, almost impossible. I'm going to hire a cast of characters and actors to do a radio show. You don't do it. People have sidekicks. People find funny people. They bring them in and they talk to them and they become in and of themselves and in their own right a character. But I'm going to do that. I wanted these characters to be alive. And so I decided I'd have to perform them myself. It saves the time and trouble of having to corral and wrangle five or six different people. I know exactly what I'm going to say when I'm saying it, and, you know, and I know exactly the timing, and I can perform this. I can make this real, as I have done. A lot of people may be listening to me for the very first time and don't know what I'm talking about, which I would recommend you listen to one of our podcasts, one of any of our podcasts. All of the people, all of the characters that you hear are me, and I don't do any you know, I don't do any editing. That I'm not taking a piece from here and putting it there. It's all in real time, with a little tightening, you know, for editing and so on and so forth. But here's where we get to the whole discussion of weird. I was listening the other day. I was listening to the other day. And listening, you know, and I do what all of you do. I think I'm listening to three or four different people. I know it's me. I realize that it's me. But the theater of it, I get lost in, and I hear these different people. As far as I know, I'm the only person on earth that does this, this thing that I'm describing to you. I don't know of anybody else that does it. Not in an extended way. I know disc jockeys that have gone in and out of character voices, and then they go into a record, they go into a commercial, and that's it. But a stylized, you know, set piece, set sort of radio play, I don't know anybody does it. And it's weird. I think the word weird, in its best possible use, means you're doing something nobody else can do. That's what I like. To, if people call you weird, say you're a young person listening to me right now, and kids at school think you're weird, it's probably because you think things and you're aware of things and you are able to grasp things and you're able to communicate things. They can't. They don't know how. They don't know how you're doing it, and so therefore you're weird. I think that that's... I think that's the case with me. Now, I know a lot of you guys may say to yourself, I don't think you're weird, Phil. I think you're funny. Or I don't think you're funny. I don't think you're weird. I understand that. I know that there's one or two of you out there. But most people hear this and think it's quote unquote weird. And the other day as I was listening to it, I thought, I'm going to come on the show here and talk to the audience about this, because it always, to be honest with you, always kind of pissed me off a little bit that what we were doing was funny and entertaining, but the actual mechanics of it was considered to be weird. Now, here's the thing. You can tell people Phil's doing all these voices, and it'll go in one ear and out the other, and maybe they understand it, but at the end of the day, it's a little presentation of humor. So it doesn't really matter who's doing the voices. It's the Phil Henry Show. People identify this as my show, so they give me credit for it, regardless of whether or not they believe that I'm doing all the voices. I think being able to do all the voices, performing all the characters, is something that only really people in the business would admire. You know, voice people admire. Other humorists think is interesting. The audience could give a shit, and that's okay. I understand. That I think was the realization that I came to the other day. You could say to people, that guy right there is doing all those voices. He's doing all those characters, and people will, well, it's funny, but it's weird, you know. So thinking about all of this stuff the other day, I thought, well, I'm gonna go to the audience and I'm gonna lay this on and let you guys know how this all came about. What I'm doing, the fact that it's weird, but at the end of the day, entertaining and funny for a lot of people. Here's the deal. It's really easy for me, too. And some people may think that that's weird. You mean you don't have to press? No, it's I can go in and out of character. I can improv and ad lib, or whatever you want to call it, at the drop of a hat. I mean, I got no problem with creating these scenarios, you know, going in and out of character and doing a completely improv performance. Although I got to tell you, you know, it's not the smartest thing in the world. Just to start from nowhere and just take off is very tough to make cohesive and coherent and frankly funny. You have to have some idea what it is you want to do. But once I do, once I have these different bullet points, I'm able to take off and do what I'm doing. But it's not a hard thing to do. And when people hear it, they might as well be hearing four or five different people doing it. For the most part, you know, I think it's funny. And there we are with it, you know, and it kind of exists as this Phil and his panel. But the actual fact is, it's freaking weird, you know? Now, I'd like to put, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean it's, no one else does it. Do I think I'm something special because of that? No, not necessarily. I'm just saying, as far as I know, no one else does it. Now, there's one thing that you always have to clear up. I don't even really know if I have to clear. I think people, most people understand, but there are some people who will say this. Do you ever forget who you are? Do you think that? No, of course not. No, I never forget who I am. I know who I am, and I know that the characters I'm playing are just expressions of different personas that I've seen and I've heard and I've enjoyed or not. And I know that the different voices I'm doing are voices that I came up with having heard someone who sounded like that, and I kind of infuse a little bit with a personality, and then I perform it. But no, I don't ever forget that I'm Phil Hendry. Through it all, I know that I'm this kid here, you know. People will say, when you're, you know, talking to your girlfriend, you ever just break into a voice? Of course I don't. No, no, that would scare her, and she'd probably want to run out of the room, restaurant, or wherever the hell we are. Funeral parlor, whatever we're doing. Say, you know, can you imagine that? Just all of a sudden breaking into a character voice because you quote, are what? You've got split personality? No, that doesn't happen to me. Now, maybe it happens to some people. I don't know. I don't want to comment. But not me. And if it did, that would qualify as mental illness. And I would be better served sitting in a soft room someplace talking it over with a doctor or something, you know. Or at least getting the daily heavy medication that the nurse hands out in those kinds of places. But no, mentally, you know, not remembering who I am, that's mental illness. Now, there is such a thing as multiple personality. It's extremely rare. Extremely rare. Multiple personality is something that is born of childhood abuse. Children that are badly, badly abused sometimes create a separate personality to deal with the pain and the anger that has created. So they are themselves, then they have this maybe hard-ass personality, then they have another personality to deal with other things. They check out. They basically say, I can't deal with this horror that my life has been, and they will create these multiple personalities. It's a very rare, rare, rare condition. I don't care what anybody tells you. And then there is the obvious schizophrenia, which was misidentified somewhere along the line in the last 50 years. People that, oh, it's schizophrenia, when you split personality is not schizophrenia. Split personality is also multiple personality, but it's not schizophrenia, is psychosis. And those are the people that you see talking to themselves, arguing with an imaginary person in the street, hearing things, hearing voices. They're sick, you know. None of that stuff happens to me. As hard as it may be to believe, none of that stuff has ever happened to me. I know who I am, and I know that when I'm in performance mode, I'm in performance mode, and when I'm in just regular Phil Hendry talking mode like I am right now, although even now I'm in sort of a performance mode because I'm talking to an audience. If I was just talking to friends right now, there'd be a lot more four-letter words. I'd be letting them talk. I'd be getting up and going to the bathroom, coming back and sitting back down, and we'd be kicking around all kinds of different topics. So this is not exactly that either. This is Phil somewhere between doing all those voices and kicking it with his friends. Is just me talking to you, my friends, who listen to my presentation every day. Now, why was this important to talk about? Because I felt like doing something other than talking to you in a variety of character voices. I felt like telling you that I understand what it is I'm doing, and I know it comes across for some people as really oddball and weird, and I'm proud of that. I don't hide from being weird anymore. It was something that, you know, like I told you at the beginning of this, it hung me up a lot as a kid, but I don't, it doesn't hang me up anymore. I'm very, very proud of that, and I wanted to talk about that because you can talk about anybody you want who you think is funny. Whether it's, I don't care who, man. You know, Chris Rock, who I think is brilliantly funny. all the way back to Robin Williams. Robin Williams, let's take him for an example. Robin Williams, lo these many years later after his passing, is considered a genius. He's considered a great comic performer, a great clown, a great satirist, a great performer. I don't think anybody thinks of him as weird. See, some people may throw that word in. You may say, Robin Williams, who was he? Tell me about him. Robin Williams was a little weird, but, and then they would go on to tell you all of the great things that he's done. But at you know, probably at the beginning of his career, he was considered pretty weird. I don't know of anybody else quite like that. I mean, I don't know of any comic performers where the first words out of your mouth is, the guy's weird. Maybe me, you know. But I'm not putting myself on the level of Robin Williams. Never. I'm just saying, who are the weird people? There's a lot of really funny people. I wouldn't call Chris Rock weird. He's funny. Funny as hell. You know? I wouldn't even call the great Sam Kinison weird. Just funny as hell. Unrestrained. I mean, I'm thinking of people that really made me laugh. Sam Kinison was not weird. He was, you know, half nuts, but not weird. Weird is is its own place, and you either embrace it or you don't, and you keep going through life not being who you are. So if you're asking me, Phil, was this some kind of a life lesson? The answer is no. No, I just hit upon it right now. As a way of wrapping this up, I found, here's a good way to wrap it up. If you're weird, let yourself be weird. And as long as you're not crazy, it's okay. It's good. And let the people say what the people will say. You know that in your weirdness is a particular genius for expressing certain things. I don't care what it is, but you just don't do it the way other people do it. And you're not hurting anybody. You're not killing anybody. You're not stealing from anybody. You're just doing it different from people. People get crazy about that. It makes them crazy when you're not doing it the way they do it. That's what I think is probably, that's what I think was probably at work in my life. So I have no idea. I'm going to listen to this as soon as it gets up on the site. I have no idea what I just said, but I do know that I was looking forward to saying it, and I'm glad that I did. Also, looking at the TriCaster, is it still rolling? Sure as hell is. I don't think we've had one glitch with the TriCaster tonight, our video computer, so we may actually be able to use the video from the TriCaster this evening. And other little, you know, what do they call it, housekeeping things. So that's it. You can take from this what you want. You can say, okay, that's fantastic, Phil. And I get back to doing all those funny voices, even though we can't really make out whether it's you or whether you actually have people in the room. And I'll be happy to do that. I'll see you here tomorrow. And we'll be back at it here on The Phil Henry Show. Executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.